Good afternoon. You're listening to Politics in Action on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm Anna, bringing you the latest on local political news. On today's episode, I will be discussing the finalization of NAFTA and what that means for us as Canadians. Then I'll be examining the unforeseen Quebec election results and how it can put Trudeau's government at risk. It was a close call, but North America has salvaged its 24-year trade alliance with the United States and Mexico. Sunday night, the U.S. and Canada struck a deal on an updated North America Free Trade Agreement, now renamed the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, USMCA, hours before a midnight deadline after more than a year of tense negotiations with the Trump administration. The new deal will strengthen the middle class and create well-paying jobs and new opportunities for nearly a half a billion people who call North America home, said U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and Canadian Minister of Foreign Affairs Chrystia Freeland in a joint statement, calling the deal a modernized trade agreement for the 21st century. Trump praised the agreement early Monday as a great deal for all three countries that would expand markets for American farmers and manufacturers. Canada's dairy farmers, however, are not so lucky. For the last 40 years or so, they've enjoyed the protection of the country's unusual supply management system. This system of production limits sets prices, and a little trade has long kept prices stable, insulating the country's farmers from the boom and bust nature of global dairy markets. Because of this, the president blames Canada for refusing to absorb America's massive surplus of milk proteins, the result of the U.S. producing far more milk than buyers want. The new deal forces open Canada's dairy market to U.S. competition, which will come at a Canadian farmer's expense, says Mike Von Massau, economic professor at the University of Guelph. There's little doubt this will hurt the dairy industry, he says. The changes in USMCA will put pressure on Canadian dairy industry, the supporting industries, and rural communities. First, the deal is reported to grant U.S. dairy farmers access to 3.60% of Canada's dairy market. That might sound small, but it means less demand for Canadian dairy, says Von Massau. The pact also requires the elimination of the Class 7, which was created in 2017 by the Canadian Dairy Commission to help producers market different types of protein, effectively locked processors in Wisconsin and New York out of Canada's market. The upshot of the USMCA change is that it creates a pricing floor that will once again let U.S. processors compete, threatening to lower margins for Canadian dairy products. The Dairy Processors Association of Canada, DPAC, feels the government didn't live up to its commitment for protecting supply management. Over the past year and a half, we have repeatedly heard our government state that it would stand up for the Canadian dairy sector, Matthew Frigon, president and CEO of DPAC, said in a statement. However, what was agreed to last night demonstrates very little support for our interests. The Canadian government defended its decision today and alluded to a compensation package for dairy farmers, but Canada will not hear any details of compensation for the next few months, Minister Freeland revealed to the Canadian press. What Canada seems to have gotten in return is the preservation of something known as Chapter 19, the dispute resolution mechanism. This section of NAFTA concerned how a nation could challenge another country's anti-dumping and countervailing duty measures. Instead of requiring that national courts decide such disputes, Chapter 19 allowed countries to challenge each other in front of an independent panel staffed by experts from both countries involved. The panel's decisions were binding and final, overriding domestic court decisions. This mechanism helped Canada's position in the long-lasting softwood lumber trade dispute, which has hurt many industries within the province, as roughly 90% of Quebec's lumber exports head to the U.S., and the forestry sector accounts for 60,000 jobs in Quebec. This statistic was cited from CBC News. The White House negotiators had wanted to scrap Chapter 19 since Trump sees it as a threat to American sovereignty. Nonetheless, in this era of Trumpian trade wars, it's no surprise that preserving Chapter 19 has become a priority for Canada. It's still far from clear what the concrete impact will be on Canadian dairy farmers, depending on how prices are set and market access is granted. The impact may also depend on the timing of other trade deals that are currently in discussion, such as notably the TPP and Canada's new trade pact with Europe, called CETA. But Von Massow further assures that there's some good news for rural Canadians within the New Deal, stating that what they haven't done is fundamentally change the supply management system, which was a fear. So they'll continue to have that stability, and that, yes, it will hurt, but it could have been a lot worse. While Trump celebrated the deal, former U.S. Ambassador to Canada, Bruce Hyman, said that the White House's handling of negotiations with Canada will likely have a lasting impact. The largest place that we've lost with the deal, which will take time to repair, is in our relationship with Canada, Hyman stated, who served as a U.S. Ambassador to Canada from April 2014 to January 2017. When you treat your best friend, your next-door neighbor, in such a hostile way, the relationship is simply not a transaction. It's bigger and broader and deeper than that, he stated. You work hard for decades to build up a relationship, and actions you take in this very short term can hurt that relationship, and I think it's going to take some time to heal, Hyman said to Newsweek. Other experts have echoed those sentiments, with Jeffrey Rosenzweig, a business professor at Emory University, telling CNN, "We have really hurt relationships with our major ally for the sake of a few gallons of milk." While Hyman expressed disappointment at the Trump administration's handling of negotiations, he said that the new USMCA agreement is beneficial to both the U.S. and Canada. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau appeared positive about the agreement on Sunday, writing on Twitter that it was a good day for Canada and our closest trading partners. The New Deal is set to go to Congress, which will launch a 60-day review period before the agreement can be signed. The long-anticipated Quebec provincial results are in, and the Coalition Avenir Quebec, or the CAQ, right-wing party, has won a majority government. This is only the third election for the CAQ, a populist coalition of federalists and former separatists that François Legault, a former Parti Québécois cabinet minister, co-founded in 2011. This was also Quebec's first election in four decades in which sovereignty wasn't a campaign issue, which freed up traditional voting blocs, federalist and separatist alike, to change their allegiances. The English-speaking minority groups residing in Quebec have been the subject of great debate during the election, from the question to Quebec's identity, and even more so now, since Anglophones are historically very liberal voters. Legault addressed the obvious tension between the two demographics after his win by stating that he wants to work together, joining the Francophones and Anglophones to make Quebec stronger in Canada, and that his government will equally represent everyone. Quebec's two traditional governing parties of the past 50 years, the Liberals and Parti Québécois, each suffered historic losses. The Liberals lost more than half their seats. The Quebec Liberal Party hasn't occupied such a small sphere of the Quebec National Assembly since 1976. But in terms of overall vote share, the Quebec Liberal Party has never had a worse showing in 151 years. At the same time, the PQ lost its official party status, winning only 9 seats, down from 28. It has fewer seats even than the 10 won by Quebec Solidaire, a new separatist party. In total, there will only be 19 people in the Quebec National Assembly representing parties that do not want the province to be part of Canada. This is the worst showing of separatists since 1973. The spokeswoman for Quebec Solidaire, Manon Massé, was clearly content with the election results, stating that today our movement is bigger and stronger on Monday evening. In regard to our municipal riding, Sherbrooke was among the last of its ridings in the townships where a decision was called. When the vote had wavering between the Liberals Party's Luc Fortin, which was the previous elect, and Rising Quebec Solidaire star Christine Labrie. In the end, Labrie made it a historic event in the riding as she became the first QC-MNA to be elected in a riding off of the island of Montreal. Named early on during the election as the spokesperson for education, Labrie pushed her campaign strongly at the University of Sherbrooke and among the younger voters in the region. Among her priorities, the Quebec Solidaire candidate emphasized improving the quality of life among public servants and student interns in the region by raising the pay scale and minimum wage offerings, while pushing for affordable transportation. Although these optimistic policies would undoubtedly contribute to the well-being of Sherbrooke citizens, Labrie holds the only Quebec Solidaire voice within a sea of CAQ ridings, raising the question on what she will be able to accomplish single-handedly. This is interesting because the eastern townships have been a liberal stronghold for decades, but Coalition Avenir Quebec and Quebec Solidaire scored major breakthroughs in Monday's provincial election. The electoral division of Sherbrooke is made up of the boroughs of Jacques Cartier and Mount Bellevue in the city of Sherbrooke, located in the eastern townships. Elsewhere, Isabelle Charest, the CAQ star candidate in Brome, Mississauga, cruised to victory in her political debut. Charest, a former Olympic speed skater, garnered 44% of the vote and an 8,426 vote lead over Liberal candidate Ingrid Marini, who picked up about 24%. Charest, a communications coordinator for the Val de Cerf school board, said she hoped Anglophones, who make up about 15% of voters in the riding, would give the CAQ a chance instead of voting Liberal. She argues, the Anglophones didn't really have a chance before. It was either they wanted to separate or stay in Canada. I think they were kind of taken for granted for a long time, and they know that. On some unfortunate news, not as many Quebecers voted for this election as in previous years. As of Tuesday morning, the estimated turnout was just over 66%, the second lowest in 45 years. In concluding remarks, this election will also have great influence in the current federal parliament, as the CAQ shares many policy interests with the conservative government, such as support of lower taxes, tighter controls on immigration, and both share the view that the new North American trade agreement negotiated this week did no favors for dairy farmers. The leader of the Conservative Party, Andrew Scheer, was the first to call and congratulate Legault Monday evening. Although the two parties have no formal ties, Scheer knows that several federal conservatives in the province ran for the CAQ and that Legault's party won in parts of the province that the conservatives are targeting in the run-up to October 19, 2019, the next Canadian federal election. This has been Politics in Action on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm Anna, bringing you the latest on local political news. Thank you for listening.